And some other people were thinking that the whole city of Vanavishnupuram will be destroyed because of this ultimate sin committed by our king. And somebody else said, but I heard about Lord Chaitanya, how he delivered Jagai and Madhai, and they were more sinful than the king. But somebody said, but Lord Chaitanya disappeared from the world. And somebody else said, but if a great devotee gives his mercy to the king, the power of the mercy of a Vaishnava is so great that is his only hope to save him from hell. Hare Krishna. The king came before that box and his heart was just so full of envy and greed. He opened the box and saw books. Those books were so powerful that just upon seeing the books, his heart became completely purified. For the first time in his entire life, he felt humility. He began to cry, repentant of all of his previous sins. His life was transformed. And then he turned to the astrologer and he said, what calculation did you make for this box? And he said, my king, I'm sorry, but according to all calculations, the most precious jewels in all the world were in this box, not books. And the king said, your calculation was correct. The greatest treasure of the greatest value in all creation is come in the form of these books. And then King Birambir began to lament. He called the dacoits. He said, you didn't kill anyone, did you? To get these books, to get this box, I ordered you not to hurt anyone. Tell me the truth. If you lie to me, you will be punished. Tell me the truth. Did you cause any harm to any of the people who own these books? They said, no, king. Tell the truth. No, king. You gave us the order. We took that on your head. They were all fast asleep. Nobody even knew we took them. And then the king spoke to his associates. Whoever is the owner of these books is such a great saint. And I have offended. I have stolen his wealth from him. He's going to become angry upon me and destroy me with the fire of his curse. If ever I meet this person, I vow that I will surrender my life to him. I long and yearn to meet the owner of these books. He lamented terribly, praying for the mercy of the owner of the books. In his mind, all of his previous sins were coming before him, and he was weeping in shame, begging for forgiveness, praying for the mercy of this unknown saint. In such lamentation, he fell unconscious. And a personality appeared to him in a dream with a golden form and told him that this saint, who is the owner of these books, is very merciful in the core of his heart toward you. You are his eternal servant, and he will deliver you. The king woke up
with hope.
Meanwhile, at the scene of the crime, the devotees woke up and went to begin their journey. There was no ox cart. There was no box with the books. It was a thunderbolt devastating their hearts. They were running in all directions looking for the box of books. Please understand, these were the exclusive copies of all the books of the Goswamis, meant for the deliverance of the whole world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only wrote 8 verses. He empowered the Goswamis of Vrindavan to write these books. He instructed Sanatan Goswami for 2 months with the knowledge. He instructed Rupa Goswami at Prayag and embraced him and empowered his heart to understand his innermost realizations. And they were all manifested in these books. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was so old. Chaitanya Charitamrita was in that box. And they were responsible to print them, copy them, and distribute them. And now, they're gone. They were running this way, that way, in all directions, searching, searching. But the books could not be found. Narottam Das Thakur, he just cried out, "We have failed. There is no power for me to go on living. I must give up my life." Shyamananda Goswami was crying out, "Today only I will enter into a lake of fire and end my life." And Srinivasacharya, who had the ultimate responsibility in this whole mission, felt as if his heart was ripped into millions and millions of shreds. They were devastated. All they could do is lay on the ground and weep for a long time. It was hopeless. But then a voice appeared in the sky and spoke to Srinivas. "Go to Van Vishnupuram. In the king's palace, you will find the books." Srinivasacharya then instructed Narottam Das Thakur to go to Kethuri to fulfill the orders of Lokanath Goswami and Mahaprabhu. And he ordered Shyamananda Goswami to go to Kethuri with him, and from there to go Ambika Kauna, and then spread the treasure of Lord Chaitanya's mercy throughout Orissa. It was a very deep, intimate, and sorrowful episode when they left each other. Srinivasacharya, all alone, so fearless, entered into the kingdom of the notorious King Birambir. While he was walking, there was one Brahmin named Krishna Ballabha who saw Srinivasacharya and was so attracted by his humble qualities that invited him home and gave him prasad. Should I continue? On this subject of prasad, it's time for prasad. Srinivasacharya inquired from Sri Krishna Ballabha everything about the king and Birambir in Van Vishnupuram. And he heard about the nefarious, notorious, wicked deeds of the king. But he also heard that every day the king would hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srinivasacharya found out the time of the reading, and he came in right at that time. When King Virambir saw Srinivasacharya, in his heart of hearts, he felt, this is my guru. This is the owner of the books. This is the saint who will deliver me of all my sins. He offered Srinivasacharya a very esteemed seat of honor. And he was about to inquire from Srinivasacharya about him. And Srinivasacharya said, I will not answer any questions at this time. Just read from the Bhagavatam. And after the reading, if you have any questions about Srimad Bhagavatam, then I will answer. The Srimad Bhagavatam recital carried on for a short time. And then King Virambir, very eager to hear from this saint, said, can you explain what we have heard in these passages today? Srinivasacharya asked, what part of the Bhagavatam would you like me to speak from? Speak from the Brahmar Gita, the song of the black bumblebee, to Sri Radharani and Gopis in separation from Krishna. Srinivasacharya spoke on that subject according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the philosophy of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. He spoke as he had learned from Sri Jiva Goswami, and everyone, including Vyasacharya, the pundit of the whole court, they were struck with wonder. They had never heard such an explanation before. As Srinivasacharya was eloquently describing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, everyone's heart was melted. And King Virambir came off of his throne weeping tears of repentance and fell again and again and again in full prostrations at the feet of Srinivasacharya and surrendered his life. King Virambir inquired from Srinivasacharya first, he brought him to a secluded place in his inner chambers, and he asked Srinivasacharya, why have you come here? Srinivasacharya replied that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has descended from his abode into this world to shower his causeless mercy upon all. He revealed his Vrindavan pastimes for humanity. That same Krishna has descended in this age of Kali as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu to teach the world by his example and by his teachings the only proper method of realizing our love for Krishna through Nam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya spoke his teachings to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhat Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. He empowered them with his message of compassion to the world. Rupa and Sanatan were the prime ministers and home ministers of Bengal. They had mass wealth, mass power, mass prestige. They were strong and beautiful, but they renounced everything to go to Vrindavan to live as the most austere renunciates. They revealed the holy places of Vrindavan. And through them, Lord Chaitanya revealed his message and one insignificant fallen soul myself, was asked to take the only copies of their most precious treasure of books and distribute them in Bengal. But those books were stolen. We looked everywhere. We could not find them. Srinivasacharya was overwhelmed with emotion. His voice was choking. His eyes were weeping. That my heart is torn apart in shreds. I have lost all the books of the Goswamis. King Birambir, floods of tears flowed from his eyes. He fell at the feet of Srinivasacharya and cried out, I am the thief! I am the thief! I have stolen those books! And then he brought Srinivasacharya into the room where the box was. Srinivasacharya offered his repeated dandavats to that box. When he opened the box, he saw the most precious eternal jewels in all of creation, the books of the Goswamis. Srinivasacharya worshipped those books. He performed arati to those books. He offered garlands to the books. He placed every book to his head and his heart with love. Can you imagine? After Vipralamba from the Goswami's Vani, which is non-different from their personal association, he was reunited. King Birambir and all of his royal court were beside themselves with joy to see Srinivasacharya with love and ecstatic devotion worshipping the holy books. King Birambir bathed the feet of Srinivasacharya with the tears from his heart. And Srinivasacharya gave the king of an instruction. Would you like to hear? He said, on this day, O king, I offer you to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Always consider yourself a great offender, and in that mood, constantly chant the holy names. I will teach you the message of the books of the Goswamis. And when you are ready, I will give you initiation. King Birambir surrendered his life. Do you know what happened at that time? The whole kingdom became disciples of Srinivasacharya. The king made laws. Everyone in the kingdom had to chant a quota of rounds of Mahamantra every day. Hare Krishna. And he stopped all worship of the demigods by offering animals to them, which was rampant in his kingdom. That was the only religion. He's just slaughtering animals and offering to the demigods. He banned it. Actually, he didn't even have to ban it. He just discouraged it, and everyone stopped. And he actually was Srinivasacharya was his life, his soul, his everything. He couldn't make a decision without Srinivasacharya's blessings. He became so humble. In this way, the whole kingdom was devotees. King Birhambir appealed to Srinivasacharya that the Goswamis in Vrindavan, they must be dying knowing that the books were lost. Please send a message to Jiva Goswami that they're found, that they're here, that they're safe, and that you're happy. So Jiva Goswami sent all of his associates who came with him from Vrindavan back to Vrindavan with the good news. And he remained alone in Banavishnupuram. And then he sent a letter to Narottam Das Thakur in Khetri. Shyamananda Goswami was still there in Khetri with Narottam Das Thakur. And when they received that letter, they were so happy. Srinivasacharya told the whole story of everything that happened. And Narottam Das Thakur, through that messenger who brought the letter, sent a letter not only to Srinivasacharya, but a personal letter to the king. And this letter was so encouraging, so full of affection, so beautiful, that when the king read that letter, his heart melted. He cried and started just calling out to Srinivasacharya, "When will I meet this Narottam Das? When will I meet him? He has stolen my heart." And then the queen, when the queen saw the books, she surrendered to Srinivasacharya and Krishna. And she said, "I heard you got a letter. Please let me read this letter." When he showed the letter, his queen wept incessant tears together. For hours and hours and hours, they just discussed the mercy of Srinivasacharya and the Vaishnavas. Srinivasacharya became the guru of the kingdom. And for some time, every day in the court of the king, he was instructing. The king offered him beautiful palaces, but he lived in one little straw hut in the outskirts. But every day he would come to teach and transform their hearts. One day, Srinivasacharya exclaimed, "I will go to Srikanda." And King Birhambir, it was a great blow to him. He said, "You have rescued this most sinful demon. If you leave this place, then the whole kingdom of Vanavishnupuram will become a deserted forest of sin. You are our only hope. You cannot leave. You must stay." But Srinivasacharya said, "I must perform my duty. I will come back." And when the queen heard that Srinivasacharya was going to leave, she approached him along with her husband. And she offered him so much devotion, so much surrender, that Srinivasacharya, who is the very crest jewel of all renunciation, of all renunciates, his heart melted. He was overwhelmed by the devotion of the queen. Bidding farewell to all of his followers, he departed for Jajigram, where after many, many years, he met his loving, pure-hearted mother, Lakshmi Priya. When the news came that he was returning, Lakshmi Priya, who was very old at the time, were standing at the pathway, just looking down the road waiting for her son for hours and hours and hours. And when she saw him on the horizon coming, just tears of motherly love, her hairs were standing on end. Again, she was going to be united with her only child, Srinivas. Srinivasacharya, when he was young, he lovingly served his mother and father with great devotion. And on this instance, when he returned, she showered him with her motherly affection as he told the whole story of his journey since the time he had left many years before. Soon, all the inhabitants of Jajigram came to hear from Srinivasacharya, and he began to speak the teachings he had learned from Jiva Goswami, and all of Jajigram became his disciples. He inquired from them, "Please tell me about Lord Chaitanya's associates here in Bengal." And they exclaimed that Narahari Sarakar, who is so very, very dear to your heart, your own Shiksha Guru, he's withering away in separation. And Gadadhar Das, the inhabitant of Navadweep, seeing everyone leaving this world, is now living, practically eating, not eating or sleeping, just chanting the names of the Lord and his associates incessantly in Katwa. When Srinivasacharya heard about all the devotees who had left the world and the condition of the few survivors, he fainted. And in his faint, Sri Advaitacharya appeared to him. Advaita, seeing Srinivas profusely immersed in an ocean of humility at his feet, lifted him up, placed his feet on his head, and embraced him. And he said, "You will deliver many, many thousands and thousands of people. The message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be spread throughout the land through you. But I have an instruction for you. You must get married. It is Lord Chaitanya's desire that you marry. Do not feel sorry about this." And then Lord Advaita disappeared. When he entered Srikanda, he met Raghunandan. And Raghunandan Thakur placed his feet on the head of Srinivas, embraced him. In fact, he soaked him with his tears. Raghunandan could not give up holding him. He was so happy to see him. And then brought him to Narahari Sarakar. Again and again he offered his obeisances to Narahari, and again Narahari embraced him in fatherly love. He said, When I see you, I'm feeling joy. You will do such great things in the service of the Lord as an instrument of his compassion to the fallen souls of this world. But where is Narottam? I long to see Narottam. I yearn to see Narottam. My heart is now blazing with the fire of separation from the Lord and his devotees. But when I see you and Narottam Das Thakur together performing Nam Sankirtan, that will soothe all the pain of my heart and make me joyful. When will you come before my eyes together to chant the holy names? Krishna, 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 Krishna Now you go out and deliver the fallen souls. But another thing, you must get married. This is what my heart feels. And then Narahari asked Raghunandan, what is your opinion? And Raghunandan Thakur said, yes, it is all of our opinion that he must marry. Srinivasacharya did not want to marry. He had no inclination to marry. He was quite embarrassed by the subject. But Narahari preached to him and dispelled his doubts. Hare Krishna. Then he went to Katva and met Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das explained, I was living in Navadvip. But then in separation from Lord Chaitanya, Vishnu Priya Devi left the world. And then Srivas Thakur left us. And then Murari Gupta left us. And then Suklambar Brahmachari left us. They're all leaving us. I could not remain in Navadvip. I am only here. And I am so unfortunate. Why do I still live? Why does my life air remain within this wretched body? I am living only to see you. You should get married. This is what my heart tells me. Do not feel sorry and do not be afraid. From Katwa he returned to Gajigram, where Narottam Das Thakur came from Khetri Gram to meet him. When those two met, it was wonderful. It seemed like they were speaking about Krishna forever together. Their talks had no ends. Narottam Das Thakur went back to Khetri Gram. And a few days later, Raghunandan Thakur arrived in Jajigram, especially for the purpose of arranging the marriage. Should I continue? Yeah. Brahmachari, should I continue? Ladies, should I continue? There was a great Brahmin named Gopal Chakravarti. And he had a daughter of the name Draupadi. And for some mystical reason, he had a great longing to marry his daughter to Srinivasacharya. But he didn't tell anyone. He just kept it in his heart. Raghunandan Thakur one day came to Gopal Chakravarti and said, your daughter is perfectly suitable to marry Srinivasacharya. What do you think? And Gopal Chakravarti discussed with the relatives and they unanimously, joyously agreed. So Raghunandan arranged for the marriage in Jajigram. And just about the same time as the marriage, because Srinivasacharya, he was in a spiritual mission. He gave diksha to his wife. For him, that was the real thing. And gave her the name Ishwari. And then Gopal Chakravarti said, what about me? I want initiation too. I surrender. So just after the marriage, he initiated the wife's father, and the wife's two brothers, whose names were Shyam and Ramchandra. And a few days later, the two sons of Dvija Haridas, who you remember from Vrindavan, Sridas and Gokulananda, they came forward and explained the story of their father. That Lord Chaitanya has ordered my father to direct us to be your eternal servants, birth after birth after birth. Srinivasacharya initiated Sridas and Gokulananda. One day, in Jajigram, just outside of his house, was a tree on the banks of a small lake. Srinivasacharya sat at that lake. At that time, there was a procession. A beautifully decorated palanquin was being carried by four servants. And sitting within that palanquin was one man. He was so beautiful. He was beautiful like Cupid. His face was just an ocean of charm. His every limb was perfect. Finely combed hair, beautiful silken dresses, exquisite ornaments. Srinivasacharya was actually spellbound by seeing the beauty of this man. And he asked one of his followers, "Who is that?" And he said, "His name is Ramchandra. He's just returning in all of his decorative opulence because he has just attended a wedding. This Ramchandra, he is a Digvijay pundit. He's defeated people in all directions by his logic and philosophical arguments. He's a master of poetry, a master at art and music. He's renowned throughout this land." Srinivasacharya spoke quite loudly, in such a way that Ramchandra could hear him. He said, "Look at this man in the palanquin. He's trying to enjoy a dangerous rope. He has that rope around his neck like a noose, and it's tightening and tightening and tightening, and he's attached to that rope thinking that he will enjoy." That's all he had to say. Ramchandra heard this, and he saw Srinivasacharya. And in his heart, he surrendered his life. The procession, or the palanquin, took him home, and all night he spent in anguish. Who was that man? I must give my life to him. Whatever he spoke is true. I'm attached to my beauty. I'm attached to my opulences. It's just a noose around my neck, killing my very life. First thing the next morning, he went to Jajigram. And Srinivasacharya explained to him that all of the good qualities you have no value unless they're used in the service of Krishna. What you can do in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, if with your charming qualities and great knowledge, you spread the glories of the holy names. Ramchandra fell at the feet of Srinivasacharya and surrendered his life and his soul unconditionally. And Srinivasacharya embraced him and said, "Just as I met Narottam Das Thakur in Vrindavan, similarly I am meeting you today. You and Narottam Das Thakur will be my two eyes. You will be my two arms. And the love and relationship between the two will be something profound. As soon as Ramchandra Kaviraj heard the name Narottam, his heart filled with bliss and love. And he couldn't understand it. He just longed to meet this Narottam. Srinivasacharya said, I know what's in your heart. Your wish will be fulfilled. Sometime later, Srinivasacharya received a letter from Jiva Goswami asking him to return to Vrindavan. At the same time, he received another letter from King Birambir, who said, I'm like an orphan without parents, without your association. This whole kingdom is going to wither and die if you don't come back. So Srinivasacharya returned to Vrindavan. There he was greeted by all the Goswamis with great love. And Jiva Goswami especially taught him from the new book he had just written, Gopal Champu, his own commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. While in Vrindavan, Ramchandra was in Jajigram, and he approached his younger brother, Sri Govinda. Now I'd like to tell you something about Sri Govinda, with your permission. Sri Govinda was a staunch devotee of Bhagavati Durga. Ramchandra Kaviraj, as well as Sri Govinda, their father was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Chiranjeeva Sen, and mother named Sunanda, who was a great devotee. Their maternal grandfather, Damodar Kaviraj, was a very, very devoted Shakti, devotee of Durga Devi. Now when Sunanda was pregnant with a child, months went beyond the expected date. And she was in great distress. This child's not coming out. So she had one of her associates approach her father, Damodar Kaviraj, who was doing puja to Bhagavati. And Damodar Kaviraj said, oh, the child is not coming. And he picked up Bhagavati's large, sharp sword and said, use this sword. The maidservant was quite alarmed by this. So then what he did is he washed the sword with water. And he collected that sword prasad and said, have her drink this water. And she drank the water, and that day the child was born. And he was given the name Sri Govinda. And because of that, the maternal grandfather very much insisted, you are born by the mercy of Bhagavati, therefore your life, your soul, your everything must always be faithful to Bhagavati. Haribo. So meanwhile, his older brother, Ramchandra Kaviraj, he was now a disciple of Srinivasacharya. And just doing Nam Kirtan and Hari Katha and associating with devotees. And he was preaching to his brother, Sri Govinda. And Sri Govinda said, no, you do what you like, but my life is the exclusive property of Bhagavati. And he worshipped Bhagavati with great devotion. Until one day, Bhagavati told him, you want shelter? You want liberation? There's only one place to go. Krishna, my Lord and Master, I order you, I command you, surrender to Krishna and accept Srinivasacharya as your spiritual master. So Sri Govinda, he went to Jajigram to surrender to Srinivasacharya. But he heard that Srinivasacharya had already left for Vrindavan. So he met his brother and surrendered to him. Servant of the servant. Sri Govinda was one of the greatest poets in our Vaishnav history. Vajahure mana sri nanda nandana abhaya charana ravindare. He wrote many books of beautiful poetry, wonderful songs in pure unalloyed love. Ramchandra Kaviraj instructed his brother, you should go to the village of Budari, because there's a large population in that area, and almost everyone is heretics and atheists. You should go there and spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya's teachings and Nam Sankirtan to all those people. And when Srinivasacharya returns, certainly he will accept you as initiated disciple. Govinda Kaviraj made his home in Budari. Do you remember we visited his home? It is still there even today. Very historical, holy place. The devotees of Jajigram, including Sri Govinda, they all approached Ramchandra and begged him, please bring Srinivas Acharya back. We can't live without him. Go to Vrindavan and bring him back. So Ramchandra went to Vrindavan. At the same time he arrived, Shamananda Goswami arrived from Orissa. It was a grand reunion. Srinivasacharya introduced his loving disciple Ramchandra Kaviraj to all the devotees. At that time, his name was Ramchandra, to all the devotees. And throughout their stay, please listen carefully, Ramchandra simply performed the most menial, humble services to assist his guru in the service of his guru. In Vrindavan, Srinivasacharya was performing menial, humble services to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Ramchandra Kaviraj was assisting him. And when Jiva Goswami saw this incredible relationship between guru, disciple, and grand disciple, his heart filled with joy. The poetry, the scholarship, the humility, and the devotion of Ramchandra captured everyone's heart. Therefore, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, after taking the permission of the assembled Vaishnavas, gave the title Ramchandra Kaviraj. Jiva Goswami sent them all back to Godadesh after some time. And whatever new books he had written, he gave to Srinivasacharya to print and distribute, including Gopal Champu. They all went to Van Vishnupuram. Srinivasacharya remained there for 2 months. And at that time, he initiated King Birambir, his queen, and a vast, vast population of the entire kingdom. Should I continue? When he heard the news that Narahari Sarakar had left this world, it had a great effect in his heart. And Raghunandan Thakur invited Srinivasacharya to come for a festival to celebrate the anniversary of his disappearance. Many of the great Mahants of Bengal came at that time, the sons of Advaita, the son of Nityananda, Virachandra, so many. They all assembled in Sri Kanda. And all the great Mahatmas, many personal associates of Lord Chaitanya, they requested Srinivasacharya to begin the festival by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam for one full day. It's so beautiful. From the very beginning of his spiritual life, he was attracted to the Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit taught him the Bhagavatam. He was so eager to hear the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada told us, the qualification of one who can speak nicely is one who hears nicely. If you're eager to hear, then you will be empowered to speak. In Sri Kanda, these greatest saints in all the world assembled. Srinivasacharya took the dust of each and every one of their feet, bowed down in full prostration, and prayed for their permission to speak the Bhagavad Purana. They all blessed him. Only then would he begin. As he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, the great saints were discussing amongst each other that it seems that Sukadev Goswami is personally speaking through him. And somebody else said that Veda Vyas is empowering him. Another person said, it is Gadadhar Pandit that is energizing him with such mercy. And somebody else said, when he speaks, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is personally showering us with his love. That was the power of Srinivasacharya's preaching. After his Bhagavat recital, throughout the day, the evening came and they began kirtan. Raghunandan Thakur put garland and chandan and chanted mantras to worship each karatal, each mardanga, and each musical instrument, because they were the worshipable paraphernalia of the Lord. And then each person who was singing and responding in the kirtan, Raghunandan was offering garlands and obeisances, and they were all offering obeisances to him. At that time, Birbhadra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, called Srinivasacharya and said, give me garland, and put the garland on Raghunandan. And Raghunandan was very much embarrassed and picked up a garland and put it on Srinivasacharya. This was the loving exchanges amongst the devotees. They began their kirtan. Their kirtan was so sweet. In the midst of the kirtan, Birbhadra just got up from his seat and began to dance. His dance was so full of love and devotion that people were hypnotized. In fact, there was a blind man who had never seen the light of day in his entire life. This blind man just could hear everyone's ecstasies. And he said, who is that dancing? Tell me, who is that dancing? And someone said, it is Nityananda Nandana, Birbhadra. As soon as he heard that name, Birbhadra looked at the blind man and glanced on him. And the blind man opened his eyes to see the dance of Birbhadra. And tears pouring from his now perfect seeing eyes, his hair standing on end, leaping with joy, he cried out the glories of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, And the devotees were struck with wonder.
Can you imagine how the enthusiasm of that kirtan increased at that moment? The devotees were feeling such deep, deep pangs of separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unable to resist their love, Lord Chaitanya personally appeared within that kirtan, dancing in ecstasy, and consoled all the devotees' hearts. And when he disappeared, all the Vaishnavas of the kirtan were just so full with joy. They were offering obeisances to each other and embracing each other again and again and again. One day, Srinivasacharya and Ramchandra Kaviraj went to the house of Govinda. Now, Govinda was sending such wonderful poetry to the Goswamis in Vrindavan that they gave him the title Kaviraj also. And actually, anyone who came from Bengal, from Godadesh, for years and years to come, one of the first things the Goswamis would ask, did you bring the bhajans, poems, and songs of Govinda Kaviraj? They loved them. They were very, very much showering their mercy. The greatest blessing we can get from a Vaishnav can only come when we please them. So, Srinivasacharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj were sitting in Budari one day, longing to meet Narottam Das Thakur. Ramchandra Kaviraj, years he was yearning to see Narottam Das Thakur. And Srinivasacharya was thinking right at that time, I have not heard any message from Narottam for a very long time. I wonder if everything is all right. At that moment, a messenger from Khetri came and introduced himself. My name is Durgadas. I am a disciple of Narottam Thakur, and I have come with a message for you. Tell us, what is Narottam Das Thakur doing? And Durgadas explained, by his bold preaching, he has made his cousin brother, Santosh Dutt, who's the king of Khetri, he's made him a devotee, and now the whole kingdom of Khetri is chanting the holy names. Brahmins, scholars, sudras, dacoits, He's transformed all these people's hearts. Atheists are now mad with ecstatic love of Krishna, chanting the holy names by the power of Narottam Das Thakur. Lord Chaitanya told Narottam Das Thakur that he is residing in a grain storage silo full of venomous snakes, and he should come to deliver him. Narottam Das Thakur found out that there was a man named Vipradas who closed down his silos years before because they were infested with snakes. And Narottam Das Thakur, even though everyone cried out to stop him, just walked right into that grain storage, broke the lock, opened the door, all the snakes left forever, and he came out with the deity of Lord Gauranga. And by Lord Chaitanya's instruction, he had made five other sets of deities. The names of the deities: Balabikanta, Radha Raman, Radha Kanta, Radha Krishna, and Braj Mohan. And he wants, he's coming here tomorrow to invite you to the festival to install those deities. When Ramchandra Kaviraj heard that Lord, that Narottam Das Thakur is coming, his heart was leaping with happiness and expectation. The next day, Narottam Das Thakur arrived. And at that time, Srinivas Acharya Narottam Das Thakur so lovingly met. The deep bond of their friendship was so deep. Srinivas Acharya introduced Narottam Das to all the devotees. Meanwhile, Ramchandra Kaviraj was so humbled to see Narottam Das Thakur, he did not say a single word. He just sat silently. But I'll tell you something else. The night before Narottam Das Thakur came, Ramchandra Kaviraj was just in deep expectation to see him. And Lord Chaitanya appeared in a vision to Ramchandra Kaviraj. And Lord Chaitanya told him, "You do not know your true identity, but I do. You are as dear to me as Narottam. Together you will preach pure devotional service and rescue humanity. And tomorrow will be the day you meet." Ramchandra Kaviraj silently witnessed the beautiful exchange between his Gurudev and Narottam Das Thakur. And Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur discussed the preparations for the festival. In fact, Narottam Das Thakur wished that Srinivas Acharya be the head priest to install the six sets of deities on Gaur Purnima. And that it was his desire to invite all the great associates of Lord Chaitanya. It was all decided. But Srinivas Acharya was feeling very much anxiety because it was short notice how to send messages to all these people and get them to come on time. Because in those days, there was no telephones or mail or emails. Srinivas Acharya personally, with his own hands, wrote beautiful personalized invitations to each devotee and had them personally delivered. That was their devotion. Each letter of invitation was unique, personalized in every way, with magnificent handwriting. And he dispatched all of the messengers. But he was in anxiety. Will it reach them on time? But then Lord Chaitanya appeared on the pretext of a dream to Srinivas Acharya and told him, "Be in no anxiety. All of my followers will gather in Kethari for this festival." And they brought an invitation to Janava Devi, Ishwari. And she was very happy to receive it. And Lord Chaitanya appeared to her and said, "You must go to Kethari Gram. It is my wish. Because in that festival, drawn by the love of Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda, I will personally appear in Nam Sankirtan with all my associates." So Janava Devi made her journey. Vrindavan Das Thakur, the sons of Advaitacharya, the sons of the brothers of Srivas Thakur, Vrindavan Das Thakur, many intimate personal associates of Nityananda Prabhu,
they all converged in Kethari. And Srinivasacharya was the priest who performed the Abhishekam and all the ceremonies to install the deities after receiving the mercy and blessings of all the devotees. The greater a Vaishnav you are, the humbler you are. The greater a Vaishnav you are, the more you're absolutely dependent on the blessings and mercy of other devotees. If you do not have that conception, there's something seriously wrong. If because of our scholarship, renunciation, or seniority, we think we're independent, there's something seriously defective. Because amongst the greatest acharyas, they're utterly dependent on the blessings and mercies of other Vaishnavas. That is Lord Chaitanya's line. Even Lord Chaitanya himself followed this principle. So after the installation ceremony was complete, there was the aarti. First the offering of bhog, then the moonrise Gaur Purnima aarti in Kethari Gram. And it was now time for Nam Sankirtan. And Janava Devi gazed for a long time on Narottam Das Thakur, and in doing so, she infused her own ecstatic shakti, the love of Nityananda, in his heart. Because she wanted Lord Chaitanya to come. So the kirtan started, and Narottam Das Thakur was singing sweet songs about Lord Chaitanya. And it evolved. And evolved, and evolved this kirtan into such a crescendo of spiritual emotion that the devotees were just crying out in their hearts in separation of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya appeared with all of his associates before the eyes of the assembled devotees. Lord Chaitanya was dancing. And there was Gadadhar Pandit dancing with Srinivasacharya. Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Srivas, Suklambar Brahmacharya, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Murari Gupta, King Prataparudra, Haridas Thakur, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupan Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. They were all assembled together, dancing and chanting. The devotees were in inconceivable happiness. It cannot be described. But then everyone disappeared. And to whatever extent they were in ecstasy, now they were in agony of separation. They were just running. Where is Haridas Thakur? Where is Gadadhar Pandit? Where is Swarup Damodar Goswami? They were running everywhere, but they couldn't find him. All they could do was just fall to the ground, weeping. But Janava Devi, although she was moved more than anyone, that she saw her beloved consort Nityananda Prabhu again, but now he was gone. She wanted to pacify their hearts. And she called Srinivasacharya and said, begin the celebration of Holi. And Srinivasacharya with Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Prabhu brought the colors and sprinkled them very sweetly on the deities. And then all the remnants gave to the devotees who sweetly sprinkled on themselves. And we'll never do that again at Radha Gopinath. We tried. But Shamananda Prabhu's prophecy came true. And they all blissfully celebrated Holi together. And thus, Janava Devi presided as the senior most of the Vaishnavas, and Srinivasacharya was the head priest for the installation of the deities on the first Gaur Purnima festival ever celebrated after the Lord's disappearance. Lord Chaitanya appeared to Srinivasacharya and ordered him to take another wife. And explained who he wanted him to marry. It was not an ordinary lady. It was the daughter of Raghava Chakravarti and Madhavi. Her name was Padmavati. And the king, when he heard, he understood it was the Lord's will that Srinivas accept another marriage, years after his first. And the king made a very, very royal, royal festival for this marriage. And he married a girl named Padmavati. And then he initiated her and gave her the name Gauranga Priya. Gauranga Priya and Ishwari, the wives of Srinivasacharya, they were like embodiments of the highest, purest devotion and compassion. They were manifestations of love, manifestations of surrender. Ishwari had three daughters. Each of these three daughters became great acharyas. Hemalata Thakurani was the eldest. She had thousands and thousands and thousands of disciples. Krishna Priya and Kanchana. And from Gauranga Priya, a son was born, Gati Govinda. And in the Jaji Gram, Chakandi Gram area, even to this day, the descendants of Srinivasacharya through Gati Govinda are still present. These are a few particles from one drop from the unlimited ocean of the glories of Srinivasacharya. There are so many stories and so many literatures about him. And we could learn so much about Vaishnava relationships, about what is actually of true value in our lives by hearing this story. As was spoken on many occasions through this narration, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally distributed his books through Srinivasacharya. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this order to Srila Prabhupada on the banks of Radhakund, there is an immense, profound history behind it. And Srila Prabhupada understood how important it is. Srila Prabhupada, in his books, has so perfectly taken the commentaries of all of our great acharyas. And through those commentaries, through their realizations and their love, he has presented the world the Bhaktivedanta purports. Prabhupada claimed so many times, I am simply repeating the words of the previous acharyas. To understand and appreciate Prabhupada's books ever more It's very wonderful to understand the lives, the sacrifice, the surrenders of the personalities of these acharyas. Their mercy, their grace, their love is manifesting through Srila Prabhupada, who was presenting their words, their realizations, and their mercy in such a way in the English language that people's hearts will be transformed all over the world. The intention of this brief narration today is with the hope to give a little more inspiration in your hearts to really try to study, understand, and follow Srila Prabhupada's books. And be a part of this mission that is not only distributing the books, but distributing the culture that it represents, of Vaishnav communities, in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, understanding the ultimate value of devotional service, and hearing about Krishna together, preaching the mission together, and especially on this occasion coming to Pune Yatra to perform Nam Sankirtan. This is Srila Prabhupada's very special gift to all of us. Let us be grateful and express our gratitude through our sincere and earnest will to surrender. Thank you very much. I'm very sorry. Lunch is waiting. So please forgive me for any mistakes or offenses I may have made today. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Nithai Gaur Chandra ki, Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda ki, Gaur Premanandi.